Paul Redmond, a very good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Joe, and good morning to everybody listening.
Excellent stuff. As I say, Paul, I've only met you about half an hour ago, and I feel like I know you years and years and years. But and I'm not even sure what way this interview is going to go, folks, because we had a kind of a chat inside before we came in, and... wow, this man has been around. Anyway,
I'm like a fungus, I grow on you.
Okay, very good, very good. I think, okay, where will we start? Do we talk a little bit first about your involvement in the Raheny Folk
Group? The Raheny Folk Group, yeah, sure.
Tell us
sure,
a little bit about that. Okay. How did you get involved in that?
There's this most wonderful folk group in Raheny, for yep. those that know it. And it's been going now for 40 years plus. Hmm. Actually, last September, we celebrated 40 years in existence. And I'm the dinosaur in the group. I'm there 35 years.
That's a long time.
That's a long time, a long, long time ago. But I owe it so very much.
Right.
35 years ago, and I was only about five, I think it was at the time. Yeah, we won't go there. They held the very first auditions for the folk group. Now, it had been running, obviously, 5 years prior to that, and it was magnificent. It had over 50 members, and they sang at a mass in the church in Raheny, mm-hmm. the 5 o'clock. It used to be known as the 5 o'clock folk group. And I queued in Raheny to get an audition. It was the very first time I ever actually tried to sing in public.
Right.
And I was petrified. And only for a young girl there who was queuing as well, when I got there and I saw that the length of the queue was halfway down the village.
Yeah.
And I went, is this for the folk group? And she said, yes, yes. And I went, right, yeah, I think I'll leave it. And she just grabbed, literally yeah, physically yeah. grabbed the hold of me. She says, no, no, they need men.
Right, right.
And I went, they're not that badly off, you know. But and on two other occasions, as we got closer to the door, I went to bolt and she yes. wouldn't let go of me.
Yeah.
I got the interview. I got the audition. She didn't. Oh, it was amazing.
A bit like X Factor.
Yeah, it was crazy. And so then, I mean, I was a young fella who couldn't, I had a voice, okay, but I'd never sung with anybody. I was too shy. I
right.
was immense. I know, mm-hmm. you mightn't think it now, but then never. I was incredibly self-conscious, incredibly shy.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me a break, as it were. They saw something in me.
Mm.
And from there on, I've been with them. It's a love of my life.
Yeah.
And I've travelled the world singing. I've performed all over the world in my own concerts. I've mm-hmm. represented my country, Ireland, proudly mm-hmm. in China.
Very good.
And I've written, I've learned to, well, I won't say I've learned how to do it.
Yeah.
I've had a go at writing music and I've ended up with a whole musical now that I've written as well.
Yeah, behind you.
All from that one day yeah. when yeah, yeah. I had a go at the Raheny yeah. folk.
We're not going to skip over that China thing too quickly.
Okay.
And one other thing, folks, I don't watch X Factor. But we're not going to skip over that China thing because you were telling us about that inside. Uh-huh. Explain to our audience there.
China.
I mean, China. That like, it wasn't just a hall full of people,
no,
like
no,
200
no.
people.
I have the great pleasure of singing with a beautiful Canadian soprano called Karen Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
And she lives in Swords. And together we're known as Essence. And we had ideas of world domination in music and so forth. So far it hasn't worked out.
Yeah.
But in our trials and tribulations, I one day got so frustrated and not getting the breaks. And in a fit of, shall I say, temper, I picked up the phone and I dialed 11811. I said, give me the number for the Chinese embassy.
Right.
And the woman said, okay, she gave me the embassy number. And I rang the embassy number and I said, what am I going to say? And this chap comes on, hello, yeah, Chinese, I'm sorry. And I'm going,
apologies to our Chinese listeners.
I want to sing in China.
Yeah, right, okay.
I put you on to a cultural attaché.
Very good.
So this Mr. Tong came on and he go, yes, you want, I said, yeah, I want to sing in China. You send me in some music.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a CD. There it is in front of you.
There it is in front of us. Essence,
and
yeah.
You can have that too. There's a present.
There's a present. God, it's like the
bribing.
The
I realise bribing gets you in on this show. it's easy. No brown envelopes.
Yeah.
So that was fine. I then, funnily enough, got a chance to join Gale Force Dance, which is a river dance esque show,
mm-hmm.
traveling the world, and I got a chance to go out to Taiwan, of all places,
mm-hmm.
and to do 10 concerts out there, to take Peter Corey's place for 10 concerts. That's another story, but I'd be
okay.
here all day. So while I'm there in Taiwan, Okay, and at the interval of the show, my phone rings. I couldn't believe it. Like, who the hell knows me in Taiwan?
Yes, yes.
And it was the Chinese embassy in Dublin ringing me in Taiwan, asking me or telling me that I was successful in my application to go and sing at the Nanning International Music Festival in the Guangxi province in China.
Wow.
And I'm going, they don't like Taiwan.
Okay.
So I'm going, this is mad. Yeah. So I rang back Dublin to Karen and said, guess what? We're going to China. She says, what are you talking about? You're already there. I said, no, not that China.
Not that
the
China.
The other China.
Yeah.
So we flew out to China and I got to walk out on the biggest man-made stage in the world in front of 80,000 people seated, mm-hmm. and over 600 million watching live in Chinese television.
My God.
And sang for Ireland.
Wow.
And it was amazing. And the only other non-Asian performer on the stage was Sarah Brightman.
Well, even, I mean, Sarah Brightman, that's
crazy.
Something in itself.
It was
isn't
an
it?
Experience.
Yeah.
And it was, and we were treated like royal. It was like the Beatles. Right. It went ballistic for us.
Yeah.
I ended up signing all sorts of people's anatomies with my name. Oh, you know, people just, you sign here. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, it was crazy. It was just fantastic. And we couldn't go out onto the streets during the daytime. We're mobbed.
You were mobbed. Big in China.
Huge in China. I arrived back at Dublin Airport. Nobody.
That's show business. That's show business. You've asked me to play a track, and
yeah.
it's from the Rohini folk group.
Yeah, this is live.
Is last year there was a concert there.
Yeah,
were you involved in that with the Garda band?
No. This was our own little concert.
This is your own,
in the church in Rohini.
Okay,
and it was a free concert, and it was to celebrate 40 years in existence, and we called back a lot of old members and all that.
Okay,
so track four, I hope, is one. That we it's here's what we did. We took a song of Leonard Cohen, Hallelujah, and we adapted it.
Okay,
and this is the kind of stuff that we do.
This is yours. Okay, so live from the Rohini Church there in the village. This is the Rohini folk group and folk group.
Group.
I said
folk
it right
group,
because I said it wrong inside, didn't I? I said the
folk
band.
Club, the folk club.
It's this early Saturday morning. Anyway, here it goes, folks. And you're very welcome back to the second part of the programme. And of course, just before we, excuse me, folks, just before we finished there, of course, that was the Rohini Folk Club. Rohini Folk. That was the Rohini Folk Group. And they were singing the Hallelujah chorus. And I've been told by Paul that members are always very welcome, ladies, gentlemen, even musicians, wherever.
Oh, we even take some musicians.
And I'd bring up your mic there. And even musicians.
Oh, definitely musicians.
Even musicians take.
Yeah.
And you're always looking for members.
If they want a bit of crack, great fun. The group is just a pantomime. Honestly, God, we spend more time laughing and having a giggle and a laugh.
Than anything else.
Well, we take the music very, very serious as well. So
naturally.
If somebody, you know, if you want to develop yourself as a singer, as a musician, come to us, okay? If you can hold tune and keep a bit of time, that's grand.
Yeah.
And if you're an experienced singer and musician, all the better.
Okay. Now, I want to talk to you about your musical, an Irish musical, The Promise. And I have to say that, as I've said earlier on, we've spoken the first time by phone, I think it was Wednesday night, and by Thursday lunchtime, I was saying to myself, oh my God, what have I done here? This guy has been there, done that and everything else. So I hope that today, this morning rather, I'll do you justice.
No bother.
Was it a trip to the Jeannie Johnson that...
Uh-huh.
Tell us about this.
12 or 13 years ago, my best friend came home from Australia and he'd emigrated there at least 20 odd years now. And it was a Christmas time and he says, come on, I'll bring you and the kids, my little four kiddies, into town.
Mm-hmm.
And we walk around, see the lights. And we went in early and it was a bitter cold day and glorious sunshine. And I said, you know what, there's a new sailing ship on the Liffey called the Jeannie Johnston and I'd like to go down and see it. Fair enough. Being an ex-sailor as well, that's what I was. I had ran away from home at 16 on giant Irish shipping.
Right, very good.
To have a ship's cook and baker. But that's another story. So we went on board the Jeannie and she's a gorgeous ship. She's still there, moored on the Liffey.
Yeah.
And my kids were running all around, you know, playing pirates. I went down below. And down below decks, they have the place laid out with mannequins dressed in the period costume and so forth. And being a singer-songwriter, that's like throwing petrol on a fire to me.
Yeah.
And I'm there and I could literally feel the ghosts although it's only a replica ship, yes. But my imagination was fired up big time. And as is often is the case, I found myself later that night, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, walking the floors. I couldn't sleep. The idea is bursting in my head, a song forming, wanting to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a song. I didn't want to write a sea shanty. There's plenty of them. And I didn't want to write something about the famine because you'd slit your wrists with something like that.
Mm.
So, but yet something was there. And eventually in my mind, I saw an image of a husband and wife. And they're standing in the doorway of their little thatched cottage and they're just about to close the door and walk away and leave everything they'd ever owned and sail away from Ireland across 3,000 miles of some of the most inhospitable seas in the world, the North Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
And to what? They didn't know where they were going. So most of these people never even set foot outside their own parish, never mind outside the country.
Naturally, yeah.
So I want to captivate that feeling of desperation, hope and love that they had for each other,
mm-hmm.
and the chance of a new tomorrow. So I wrote a song called Across Blue Waters,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, that's fine, that's grand. Happy days, wrote the song, move on, as often is the case. This one wouldn't leave me. It haunted me. The way you get a song stuck in your head, you just can't stop singing the damn thing. So I said, what's going on here? And the more I thought about it, the questions kept coming up. Well, who are these people? What's their story?
Mm-hmm.
And then bit by bit, I started to imagine and create a story and a life for them. And before I knew it, I had a whole musical written.
Right.
And I called it The Promise.
Well, tell us a bit about The Promise. You know, I know it's based on a family, four stories.
Four love stories.
And is it all in the Fingal area?
I'm living out in Ballybohol now.
Yeah.
Okay, North County Dublin, or as they say, County Fingal out there now.
Oh, very good.
County Fingal, out in the wilds, as the saying goes. And it's steeped in history. Mm-hmm. Absolutely steep. And Ballybohol is on Ballybohol, mm-hmm. which is the town of the Crozier. St. Patrick's staff was kept there as a sacred relic. Mm-hmm. I think until Cromwell came along and burnt the whole lot.
Right.
Good old Cromwell.
As he did.
As you would, you know. But apart from that, the last battle of 1798 in the East Coast took place there. Very few people know that about, officially Tara was the last, the Hill of Tara was the last battle in Meath and the Eastern Seaboard. And they all got slaughtered, needless to say. Pikes against cannon and musket wasn't much of a battle. But about somewhere between a couple of hundred and 1,000 of them, trying to get home, running for their lives, ended up at a place called Drishog Lane, just outside the little village of Ballybohol.
Right.
And there they found themselves surrounded by the Redcoats.
Mm-hmm.
And sooner than sort of be hung as common criminals, they charged the guns with mostly just their bare hands and were slaughtered to a man.
Right.
And are now buried in a mass grave in the little graveyard in Ballybohol. And like that's again petrol stuff.
My.
So I wrote a song called Come Men of Erin,
mm-hmm.
because I figured, okay, you have this group of men there desperate and surrounded. Somebody had to stand up and say, well, I'm going down fighting.
Yes.
And I wanted to capture that. So mm-hmm. That was the beginning of the story, and at the end was Across Blue Waters when they're sailing away.
I had to fill in the gaps
in between.
Yeah.
But the actual story, it's a romantic period musical melodrama. Okay, so that's basically what it's a period musical. It's very much on the lines of Les Mis. Okay, and it's that big. We've 26 of a cast.
Right.
So it's an enormous project. And we actually got it staged in the Helix in 2012 for 5 amazing nights,
mm-hmm.
and packed out. And it was done on a threadbare shoestring budget.
Right.
That's been its biggest problem, getting financial backers to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually, if you go onto YouTube and look up The Promise, an Irish musical, you'll see a 40-minute promo.
Very good.
Of what we did in the Helix. I'm currently now, sadly, in the last 2 weeks, it's taken me 2 years to get it back on stage,
mm-hmm.
and we were booked into the TLT in Drogheda, the Tommy Leddy Theatre in Drogheda, for 2 weeks in March. And the pinnacle of that was going to be, the highlight was going to be, we're going to be broadcasting live to the world on St. Patrick's Night.
Right.
We had Sky, we had Comcast in America, coast to coast, and we even had negotiations ongoing with Chinese television.
Right.
And I've had to cancel it.
Oh, my God.
Because it was costing approximately €260,000 to put on.
Yes.
And I couldn't get enough money to... I had it all booked. I mean, David Hayes, the musical director of Riverdance, is its musical director.
Yeah.
I have a fantastic director from America, Kathleen Warner Yates,
yes,
who has directed for 9 years off Broadway. I mean, a full professional cast, crew, mm, everything done.
Yeah.
All ready to rock and roll. And sadly, the financial backers weren't there.
To just run that by us again, how much money was that you were looking for again? 260,000.
And for Ireland, it was worth, it would be worth for Ireland in tourism, millions upon
exactly
millions. Honest to God.
And can nobody see that in Bord Fáilte or the Arts Council,
well,
or anybody like that?
Maybe I just didn't go about it the right way, I don't know, but all the doors were closed.
But you went, the way you went about it was the right way. People should be, those that are, know about these things should be picking up on this. They should,
yeah,
be, they should be banging on your door.
Well, that's what I believed.
Yeah.
And especially when I have the product proven and tested.
Yeah.
It's an amazing... I know I wrote it, but it, yeah, it's not down to me that it's amazing. It has evolved.
Mm.
Because I call it the promise, the people's musical. Because
yeah,
ordinary people have come out of the woodwork to help us
yeah
get it this far. Now, it's not dead. Okay, it's
yeah,
not dead.
Yeah.
But the frustration and... just, how would I put it, the lack of vision that I've come across in the money circles, not
yeah
the ordinary people. The ordinary
yeah
people have just been tremendous. So what I'm going to try and do now is, well, it's literally broken me financially and
yeah
in every other way.
You did a drastic thing. You put your, got a mortgage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm, as the saying goes, deeply in the smelly stuff. And but it's going to come good, okay?
Yeah.
It's got a whole life of its own. It really is. I remember David Hayes, I asked him last Christmas, he's him of The Voice,
The
and
Voice,
Riverdance
yeah
and so forth. And I said, David, you know, where do I stand with you? What do you really think of The Promise?
Yeah.
And he turned to me and he says, Paul, he says, in my 30-odd years of the music business here, he said, there has been three Irish musicals that I really felt should have got out of Ireland and made it internationally. By the way, there is no Irish musical. Are you aware of that?
No, I'm not aware of that.
Riverdance is not an Irish musical. It's an amazing, fantastic Irish dance show.
Right.
But I'm talking about on the lines of Les Mis, Phantom of the Opera,
yeah,
West Side Story.
Yeah.
In our country, we don't actually have
a
big kicker at that. Now,
yeah,
okay, Once is doing very well in New York, I believe, at the moment, and fair play to them and good luck to them. But really something on that kind of wow.
Yes.
On that wow factor.
Yeah.
And The Promise is there.
The Promise is there.
It is there.
Would somebody kindly pick it up?
Yeah,
and
that's
run
the
with
thing. But David said to me, of three, he mentioned two others, and he said one had phenomenal money behind it, and
yeah
it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Another one had great backers, but it never even got onto the stage.
Yeah.
And he says, and then there was this threadbare shoestring thing called The Promise. And he said, it's the greatest Irish musical I've ever worked on.
Yeah.
So that was coming from that man. It's going to make it. I'm now going to try somehow. I'm going to try and find about €6,000 to get myself and Kathleen Warner Yates, the American director, to New York.
Yeah.
And we're going to, as typical Ireland, you have to get out of here to come back.
To do, yeah,
to come back.
And as I say, during the week when I was reading up on it, like what people are saying is that the musical, the Promise, an Irish musical, could do for Fingal area what the Quiet Man
Quiet
did
Man,
for
yeah
you know,
the Kong in the West
yeah
and the Titanic for
yeah
Northern Ireland.
I suppose, although I'm not sure, what's his name? What was that thing, the Scottish movie? Braveheart,
yeah.
Did for Scotland,
yeah,
although didn't do much in the Boyle in the referendum
well,
last year.
They came close.
Yeah, freedom.
They did, yeah.
Do you know we have a track? And you asked me to play track number 3, and it's I Promise You Love. Tell us a little bit about that.
I Promise to Love You. But part of the story, it's 4 love stories in The Promise.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the love stories is the daughter of the Lord of the Land, Lord of the Day, Sunnis, and who falls madly in love with the son of our hero, Sean, who is a rebel at heart, but yet he's given a promise never to use violence.
Right.
Okay, so that's hence where the promise comes from.
That's where the promise
and,
comes from.
Needless to say, she's of Protestant gentry stock,
mm,
and the son, Sean Oag, is Irish Catholic rebel, you know, and it's a match made in hell, for the want of a better
yeah
word, but ultimately in heaven. They're madly in love with each other. They can't see why can't we get married?
Yeah,
sorry.
Because, yeah.
In 1845, you're going, hello.
Yeah. And that's when the
well, it starts from 1798
it
up to 1845,
okay,
to the famine, so it
yeah
covers that entire period.
Yeah.
And there's all sorts of things. There's
yeah
marriages and murders and God knows what else and skullduggery going on.
Skullduggery. Yeah,
skullduggery.
We're going to play this.
This is the wedding vows that they meet in a graveyard and decide that they will get married anyway. They're going to elope. So they kind of reenact their wedding vows. And so this is called I Promise to Love You.
Wow. Wasn't that something? And that was I promise to love you, and that's from Promise. Now, the lady singing there was Carol Lynch.
Yeah, an amazing Canadian soprano, living in Swords. Yeah.
And the gentleman singing was yourself?
Ah, well, sure, you know yourself.
That was something else. That
I yodel a bit. This is
I tell you what, that was fantastic. That was fantastic. And did you write that one yourself
I
as
did.
Well?
I wrote the whole musical.
I wrote
the story, the script, all the songs, lyrics, melodies, the lot.
Yeah, I still can't understand why somebody hasn't grabbed the whole idea of the show going live on Patrick's Day all over the world.
Yeah, it's gone.
For very little yeah. money. I mean, isn't this not what the lotto was set up for and all these things to promote Irish culture and God knows what?
Mm-hmm.
It's just
so frustrating.
Beggars belief.
Well,
so,
yeah, I suppose part of it is getting the word out there as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I've chased after, you know, Bono in New York, Michael Flatley, Jeremy Irons in Cork, you name it. Anybody
in
the business, millionaires and you name it, and businesses and companies and county councils and... I mean, I've spent two and a half years, well, I'm over 12 years pushing this rock up the hill.
Yeah.
You know, but...
I've seen your clip on mm-hmm. YouTube, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, for instance, as I lean over, folks...
I wrote the book as well.
The book, The Promise. So there's the book.
Yeah.
There's the musical, yeah. And you know
CD, the whole
what thing. Comes next has to be the movie.
Well, actually, I'm working on that already. I've been asked to by a small company in North County Dublin called Lispopple Films. They do the Druid Chef, Irish Paint, Magic, and things like
yeah.
that. And they've been passionate about The Promise.
Yeah.
The owners of it, Paul and Brenda Flanagan, and they've been passionate about The Promise for 10, 12 years now, since I first mentioned it. They love the music and the story.
Mm.
And he's always been wanting to make it into an actual Irish movie. And the story is so big, I actually ended up writing the book, and I said, no, I don't want it as a movie initially, because I have the musical. And it hurt me terribly to actually cut the musical down to 2 hours, because it's about 5 hours long.
Mm.
So I'm currently writing a TV drama series for it called The Promise. Again, I've never done it. I mean, I never wrote a musical. I've never written a book before. So I just have a go. I just said, what the hell? Have a go. It can't be that bad.
Yeah.
So I wrote the... I went online and I got an app for my iPad, and which I'm a dying... Oh, God, I tell you. When it comes to these things, it's I'm dreadful. Technology and me. Whoa,
yeah. Here's your brother.
Oh, it's scary. But I mastered it and I put together what I thought should be a script, and I gave it in to Liz Popple, who had connections with a producer in the BBC.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent it over to him with the music and the story and all the rest in the book. And he was blown away by it.
Yeah.
He said, this is amazing. And unfortunately, though, he was a director of documentaries. But mm-hmm. he's passed it around to a few people. And the word back was, wow, this is great. This is great stuff. Where's the rest of it? So I've got till June to write 6 more episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having fun.
Yes.
I'll keep me awake till 3 and 4 in the morning
doing it.
But I love it. It's just great fun for me. And that's what I'm currently trying to do. Now, there's no guarantee it's going to go anywhere, because apparently it takes between 1 and 1.5 million sterling per episode to make. And that's budget.
Yeah. But look, where you're just looking for that 260 or 220.
Yeah.
Folks, if you win the lotto tonight.
Oh, stuff. Yeah.
And before we move on, you have some, I know you were saying there, if people want to have a look at the musical, they can go it on YouTube, the musical.
The Promise, an Irish musical.
If you go to YouTube. Yeah. Now, have you any a web address?
We have a website, thepromisemusical.com.
thepromisemusical.com. If you want to get in touch.
Yeah, sure.
You must have fantastic energy for to be pushing this all the time. I know that if we go back, you were a fireman.
I was. I was... I was 20 years, a very, very proud member of the Dublin Fire Brigade and Ambulance Service, the DFB, for 20 years. And literally, it was about 13 years ago now, I had to take early retirement. Mm-hmm. My health broke.
Right.
Too long at the coal face, accumulated post-traumatic stress is what they call it. And so I was forced out, as it were, reluctantly. And 3 days before I actually officially signed off, I was down in Kerry with a friend of mine kind of convalescing, and my house burnt down.
My God. Genie, man.
Where would you get? So, but on from that, I have I love being with people. I love talking to people. I love meeting with people. And I particularly love helping people.
Mm.
So that's why I really enjoyed the Fire Brigade. You made a difference.
Yes. Yeah.
But also, I had a passion for healing and health.
Mm.
And I became, I suppose, disillusioned with modern medicine, having seen it up close and personal. Now, I have great respect for modern medicine, and in particular the doctors, and more especially the nurses, you know, in Beaumont, fantastic.
Yeah.
Absolutely the salt of the earth.
Yeah.
But I felt the medicine, the form of medicine, wasn't doing it.
Yeah.
That was my experience. It's brilliant for quick fix intervention, save your life, nothing better. But when it came down to long-term chronic illness, wow, it was kind of falling way short of because I said it's not curing anything.
Yeah.
So by chance, if you want to call it chance, I met another fireman who was studying homeopathic medicine.
Okay.
In our downtime, in his downtime, in the station, where, you know.
What station were you in?
Originally you start off in Tara Street, and I spent 9 years in Tara, 8 years in Tara to get my maths right.
Yeah.
And then I was, for my sins, I was transferred out to Fort Apache, Finglas. that's what we lovingly call it.
That's what you lovingly call it.
We lovingly call it Fort Apache.
Good morning to all our Finglas listeners.
Finglas is a magnificent place.
Yeah.
And the people up there are second to none.
Very
okay?
Good.
Absolutely second to none. Fireman humour. Okay, you've got to take that on board.
I understand where you're coming from,
just amazing. So I've been studying eating, sleeping and drinking homeopathic medicine for 35 years now as well. It's unbelievable. Yeah. And I practice from my home. I used to run a clinic in Swords. I opened up a clinic on the main street in Swords, the Swords Homeopathic Clinic.
Right.
And last October, I closed it and gave up the business to go full-time into the promise. I figured, no, this is it. We're in the TLT and it's gone. So I've lost my business.
Do you have a family?
I have a wife and 4 children.
Wow. And they're behind you?
No. Ah, no, they are.
Okay,
They are. But I try to keep them out of it, I mean, it's not easy for them living with a lunatic.
You have a passion.
I have
a
passion,
That's what it's about, and,
The Fire Brigade has had a huge influence on my life. I met one of the gentlemen who funded Riverdance.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a year to get to his door. Quite a year of constantly ringing and trying. I mean, I never give up. I just keep on going. And eventually I got to sit in front of this man and I was explaining to him all about the promise, la la la, and he just sat there, stonewalled me.
Mm.
He just went, nah, not that good, nah. And I was just, what's going on here? And I was dying in front of this guy and he was having none of me.
Yeah.
And I just stopped and I said, can I ask you a question, sir? And he said, yeah. I said, do you know anything about the Dublin Fire Brigade and Ambulance Service? And he went, what? I said, Dublin Fire Brigade and Ambulance Service. Well, only I see them going up and down the street making noise with their sirens. And I said, well, sir, I said, I've been a proud member of that group for 20 years. And I said, they have a corps d'esprit, an attitude of can do, will do, make do. And I said, and that's what's got me to your door. And I said, and that's what's going to put this musical on the world stage. And he just smiled. He went, I see.
Very good.
So he says, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll get somebody to look at your DVD and I'll personally listen to your songs and I'll get back to you. That's over a year ago and I'm still waiting.
So if you're out there...
It'll happen. Honest dog. I have great faith.
Okay, so as we draw near to the end, time flies.
And I've really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you very much for coming up. We're delighted to meet you.
Anytime.
And folks, I know that our programme is repeated again at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm not sure if it's Wednesday or Thursday because it keeps changing and I never know what day.
Can I give you a contact number for the folk group?
Of course you can, yes.
And actually, in fact, it's my own mobile number of 087.
087.
289.
289.
2056.
2056.
And the lovely people in the North, Northside People?
Yes.
They have put a little ad for us on their notice board for the folk group, so you can get my number there.
Excellent stuff.
As well.
You can catch up there as well.
And drop us a line, or if you want to come along, or...
We will certainly
be only too delighted. Yeah.
Paul, it's been a pleasure.
Gosh, where's the time gone?
Where's the time gone now? Yeah.
I told you didn't have enough time.
I know that.
I know. Can we not go on? Kick off that. who's on next? The foot? The sports? Forget that.
Fergus will be along shortly, folks, with the Saturday mornings.
We bite another hour out of his
time. Yeah. He's going to only be talking about the rugby last night.
I watched it.
Anyway, Fergus is along in about another 5 minutes, folks, with the Saturday morning sports show. I want to thank you again, Paul, for coming in.
Not
delighted to meet you.